Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, let me give an update here because a lot of you are texting in about this. If you were listening to Nick Caserio's press conference, it ended pretty abruptly earlier this morning at about 9:15. Landry Locker asked a question about the mechanics of the waiver process and how hectic that is. And before Nick could answer the question, there was a loud thud and then some commotion in the room. And I think you could even hear Nick saying to get medical. Turns out a media member passed out, stress and heat, hit the floor. He is okay. That particular
okay,
media
yeah,
member.
Just a little pass out episode.
A little stress okay. and heat, and it gets to
it
you.
Happens to the best of them, kid.
Yeah.
Or whoever it was,
yeah.
Lady. I don't know. It happened to me. And you know what happened to me? It was because I was a doctor was explaining my hernia procedure to me.
That was pretty
and
recent, too, huh? That was,
yeah, I'm apparently a little too soft to look at guts and stuff and imagine them myself. Because I passed out like four times. And I would wake up and then I'd pass out again. And then I'd wake up and then I'd pass out again.
Was it the graphicness of the description or was it?
Yeah, I don't like anything having to do with guts. And I was looking at the, hold on a second. Let me brace myself.
You don't need to relive it.
They show you the little intestine poking through the muscle wall.
Now
and
I'm
I was
pass
like,
it.
Ugh. But I don't, in the moment, I was like, I could tell something was off. And I'm like, oh man, is this it? Oh, right. I think I might be having a stroke or something.
Oh, yeah, that's scary, dude.
And then the disappointing thing was that I had no time to really process that even, though. It was kind of, I was good. I was glad I didn't panic in my head. It was more like I was an observer.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so this is how it ends, huh? Oh.
Well, how long were you out
weird.
For?
Who knows? You know what it is when you pass out. You're either, you know, it could be
you
four
didn't ask.
Hours. It could be, it feels like 4 hours when you wake up. I'm guessing it was a few seconds.
I'm not saying this in any critical way. That wasn't a question that you asked, like, how long have I been out for? Or
No, I didn't. Yeah. I never thought to ask.
Yeah.
Like, who won the election?
Did we win?
Is that syncope? That's what it's called. Syncope.
Okay.
If you want to sound fancy. I had syncope.
Okay.
It turned out I was dehydrated. So I give myself a pass on the passing out.
Oh yeah.
Like a paramedics, like the doctor, I think if I had just passed out, he wasn't going to call the ambulance. The fact that I kept passing out,
right?
He called the ambulance, and the by the time the paramedics got there, I just had a pleasant chat with the paramedics, and they were having a hard time spiking me, and it was you look like you're pretty dehydrated, man. So
was that the same one where you sent me like the first person point of view picture of you sitting in the back of like a medical truck?
Yeah.
Like a picture of your feet.
And my one Instagram video per 3 years, every 3 years that I put out, I did a nice little montage of my hospital experience.
That's what
there.
It was.
I was watching the Astros game from my hospital bed.
Yep.
Because, you know, and it was one of those things, by the time I got to the hospital, I knew I was fine, but you have to go through the whole procedure. So I ended up being in the emergency room for like 5 hours just with something that I know wasn't an issue, but right. Like, all right, at least I'll check my heart out and everything.
Yeah. And here's your bill. $1,000 to get your heart.
I had gotten down to 259 that morning, which it turns out some of that was water weight loss, so I shouldn't count it. But you know, in my constant fear of being depleted, at that point that was the lowest weight I was for like the next 4 years.
Wow.
It took me four. I ballooned back up to like 270, you know, because I didn't want to be depleted.
Right.
And and finally eventually got below 250.
Dude, any excuse to just go chow down, like, I guess I better go eat three
sorry
steaks.
Honey, I didn't know you wanted me to pass out while I was driving or something.
Doctor's orders. So we just got done hearing from Nick Caserio earlier this hour. Again, the press conference ended kind of short. There was a lot of other stuff. It's almost like the media was going through the offensive side of the ball, and then they were going to get to the defensive side of the ball, and then the press conference got cut short. So that's good. More meat on the bone when we talk to Nick pretty soon. We should hopefully talk to him within the next week or so on this show. I was hoping to get to some of the stuff on the defense. Like, there was no Christian Harris question. Like, that's a huge question for me right now. You know, they might have gotten to it. You know, like if the press, you know,
right. If somebody hadn't passed out,
right.
Syncope.
Right.
That's the way we in the biz call it.
Syncope.
A little bit of syncope.
Yeah, medical
press conference induced syncope.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What if it was somebody that staged it as a way to stop Landry from having his pernicious question answered?
That would be next level.
a very it was a very cut and dry question. It wasn't anything. It was an interesting question, but one about the mechanics of all this
of the waiver wire stuff. Yeah, yeah. The like of all the things that they didn't get to in the press conference, the one thing the Christian Harris thing worries me right now.
Yeah,
the Christian Harris
injury. It feels too much like Kyle Tucker.
Yes.
It feels, and by too much, I mean exactly the same as Kyle Tucker. Because we had, I mean, worse than Kyle Tucker, because Kyle Tucker, at least you could see the injury happen. With Christian Harris, it's, hey, this is a guy we've been talking up all offseason. He's a key. D'Amico Ryan's defenses work best when you got a guy like Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw in San Francisco and Alshire. And Christian Harris were going to be those two guys for you. And then all of a sudden on day one, midway through practice, we're looking around and we're like, where is Christian Harris?
Yeah.
Is he even like, and then that's it. We've seen him. We've just seen little smatterings of him here and there.
Yeah.
Tried to practice one day and had to be assisted off the field.
Yeah.
I'm growing increasingly alarmed over Christian Harris's absence.
I am too, man. I'm worried about it. And it's not a deep position either. This isn't something like, okay, well, Stephon Diggs is out, but you still got Nico Collins and Tank Dell to go threaten teams. You know, like you've got two.
Yeah.
They have two linebackers I trust right now, and one of them's Christian Harris, and he's hurt. You know,
a whole lot of other guys that I think honestly they're going to have to treat them like defensive linemen almost. Where you got a big guy in Neville Hewitt when you really need to stop the run. You got a super athletic guy like Hanson when you need that. You got Henry Toa, who I think has come along and developed, but we just don't know exactly what we have in
him.
And then you got another couple guys that are raw and athletic, but man, it's kind of dicey right now.
It's dicey, and do good offensive coordinators make that sort of a kill spot on the defense? Like, they got Neville Hewitt in on first down to guard against the run, eh?
Well, teams like the Indianapolis Colts,
yes,
frankly, where Jonathan Taylor had his two best games of the year versus the Houston Texans last year.
Yeah, there's a lot that can happen there. Let's get Larry and Stafford in here before the guys in the loop jump into the studio. Larry, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, son? Seth, look, I'm glad y'all are talking about that linebacker spot, man, because it got all of our ass worried, man, because when you think about it, even though we're going to be playing some young quarterbacks to start out, but AR-15 is out there, man, and we was banking on Christian Harris and Agent Zero just being able to keep him under containment so that Stingley and all them boys can lock up everybody else. But the thing about it is, and this is one of the things that Nick has kind of earned a little bit of trust with, you're going to always see that he's going to be able to turn over that roster, but he better find some damn linebackers, because Hanson and Hank and all them boys, that's fine and dandy, but I need somebody, man, that's going to be able to make sure that we show up behind them boys, man, because going into this season, I'm okay with exactly how that roster is set up, except for with Robert Woods. Every cut that they made or whatever is justifiable, because D'Amico and Nick believe in your ass competing, and I just believe that everybody on that roster just beat out the dudes that they released. So we're just going to have to believe that Nick is going to go out there and continue to do the kind of work that he normally does with that roster, because he don't mind turning over a damn roster. Mm-hmm. Your ass will be on this roster one day, and he'll cut you the next day and fill it in. So between that linebacker and DBs, we got to get that figured out. But overall, man, son, the beauty of it for me is this is the first time in a long time that it hurt to let some players go. And that tells me, like D'Amico said, we got a damn good football team, man. And you want it to be painful, because you can't keep everybody. But if your mission and your objective is to get your ass to New Orleans, this is the kind of pain you got to go through. We got Indy in 2 weeks. I need to figure out exactly how to get Christian Harris ready in the 4 weeks that he's out. But these boys just got to be ready to go fired up. And we're an offensive team anyway, so I'm long as the main thing, number 7, is over there, I'm going to give us a shot against anybody. But, fellas, it's a fun time to be a Texan. I'm excited about the season coming up, and I don't sit in that section in the roof where the roof is open and they blinding your ass. So I'm good, and I'll holler.
I appreciate you, Larry. Yeah, it looked hot for the people sitting down in that end zone on Saturday. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm curious, if you were sitting down there, was it as hot as it looked? The fans that were in that sliver of roof opening there in the sun,
I like if it helps you feel any better, it gives the impression on television that, like, you are God's chosen people.
It does. That's true.
It feels like you're like, oh, these are the chosen ones.
That's true.
They're about to be beamed up to heaven.
Yeah.
The rest of us are stuck here in a hell on earth, but there you are. So if that helps.
Yeah.
You know, that's my little fantasy
right,
I have in my
right,
brain.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're blessed if you're sitting in that if you're sitting in that sunlight.
The Christian Harris thing that Larry brought up as well. Especially if you think about, all right, you're facing Anthony Richardson. We saw firsthand the damage he can do with his legs. I don't think he's one bit ready as a bona fide NFL passer. And I say that based on preseason games versus vanilla defenses. He made some bad decisions. But it's that classic, man, on any given Sunday, he can ruin your whole day just with breaking off a couple runs, the threat of the RPOs and the zone reads and everything. It makes it really tough to... It doesn't matter that he's not a polished NFL passer on any given Sunday. He's a headache. So you think about Christian Harris last year, that kind of shoestring tackle he made on Lamar Jackson, that kind in the playoff game, those are the kind of things that when you've got a sideline-to-sideline guy, hopefully you can limit some of the damage of a really athletic quarterback. It's and then Jonathan Taylor had his two best games of the season versus the Texans last year.
Mm.
It's a bit of a headache, man.
Yeah, and it's 11 days away. It's 11 days away. Okay, a few people texting in that were sitting in that section. We had to move to empty seats in the shade. My friends have season tickets down there. They said it was miserable. They couldn't see without sunglasses. It's hot AF in the club section part that's in the sun. Yeah, because that strip goes. Mm-hmm. It's not just down in the lower bowl down there. It transverses the whole stadium. Someone's saying tell Cal to go buy some tarps at Harbor Freight. I have a 25% off coupon he can use. Hey man, Cal said this is not a DIY situation. All right, this is a custom.
Yeah, it's a specialty parts and everything. Yeah. It's not like you can go pick up the stock parts for the retractable roof stadium.
Yep.
And I'll put that in the book of the Google Doc of business ideas. We need stadiums that are kind of like modular homes.
Okay.
Modular stadiums.
Yeah.
So you can have some more standardization across
the
industry.
Right, or tiny stadiums, like tiny homes. We'll have a tiny stadium, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the new trend.
That'll be the new trend, yeah. One, we'll sell 5 seats for $8 million apiece. We were told earlier, John Lopez and Reggie Atatula joining us here, they are in the loop. We were coming up, or the listeners were coming up with new nicknames for Tommy Townsend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tommy Rockets is a good one, but we were soliciting other entries. Someone said Tommy Moonshot, and they said, be careful, Lopez is going to correct you on the meaning of moonshot.
Yes. Yes, I will.
What is that all about?
Because people use moonshot. You're going to make me go on a tangent, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm curious what it's all about. I'm like, why? Is this a hill that
Lopez
dies?
Let's go ahead and isolate real quick.
People, all right, here's
clear
your
the side.
Here's your history. I'm going to do the 1-4 flat. That's my old basketball play. 1-4 flat. Just give the ball to him and let him go.
Yeah.
People have misused this for decades. A moonshot, they are like a big giant Jordan home run, they call it a moonshot. That's not a moonshot.
The
moonshot comes from Wally Moon, even before my time, but I know my baseball history.
Right, yeah.
Wally Moon from the Dodgers, when they had, I think they played in New York with the short porch in right field, whatever that stadium was, I'm drawing a blank, he would just sort of flick the shot right over the fence.
Oh, kind of like the pesky pole
real
in Fenway.
High,
yeah.
And it would only go like 275 feet. And they called it a moonshot because he was Wally Moon.
Oh. So
a moonshot is not a giant
it's
home run.
It's not a ball that could hit the moon.
A moonshot is like a flick of the wrist barely gets in. It's the exact opposite. Barely gets into the Crawford box.
Okay, and this agitates you to no end.
Because it's incorrect.
Okay.
A moonshot is not a big, big home run. It's a little home run that just gets into the front row.
See, Reggie, I got him on point right before the show. I got him agitated.
In a sports context, they credit Vin Scully, who is doing the play-by-play referring that to that as the Wally Moon home run.
A moonshot is not a big home run. It's a little home run.
I blame Vin Scully for this being
use it
argument.
Right, people.
Yeah, yeah.
In a sports context, we'll
in
say
sports
that.
Context.
Because it was first used in 1959 by
Seth. That's
French
even before my time.
Yeah. Seth is dishing his all off the top of his head right now. That's what he remembers about
the 1949. 1949. So Wally Moon.
Are we all good now on moonshot?
Yeah, no,
probably
we're good.
Not.
I just needed an explanation.
Okay, wait. I have to ask them another question, though.
Okay.
Okay, so a lot of people, several people had suggested, as I was describing Tommy Townsend's punts, they're less like a missile, because missiles are kind of, these days, they're kind of straight line trajectory. Mm-hmm. So I thought of like a medieval long archer. People said Tommy Trebuchet, which those catapults. I felt like that was a little too niche a reference.
It reeks of trying too hard.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
It sounds good, though. Tommy Trebuchet.
It does. I'm not going to lie. The alliteration is there and everything, but it does feel like you're trying a lot.
Y'all laying out the roster today and all that good stuff?
We're thinking about it.
Yeah, it's a good topic. Yeah, we got Nick Caserio, most of him. There's a cut short a little bit at the end. We can joke about it now. The person who took a fall was okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.